Everyone, let's pray. Dear Father, we just look to you in every way. We're grateful. Oh, man, just so grateful, God, to see each other. Yes. And to be with each other, to hear music like this, stirring music. It's in your Bible. It tells us to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I feel spoken to this morning. And I pray for your word today to resonate with us, and that we'll, as a body, just be with you and get closer to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You might think that we really coordinated this service very tightly because I think Mike and just this song called Promise and Armstrong talking about the promise in Abraham, and I'm going to talk about the promised land. It's what God put on my heart. I'm not aware that we coordinated anything, but I am. So, the Spirit. And I do believe God works that way. It is great. Take a look around. You can, you know, wave or wave. It is very good. Hi, Seth. It's very good to see everybody. I wish, you know, the feeling I got this morning, really, and I still get, is I just want to, like, do a big old hug, you know, with everyone, even virtually. I just, you know, want to reach through there and hug you. You know, it's just great to see everyone this morning. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Genesis 1 starts the story of God in the garden, so wanting to be with his people. We know where that went. It goes to Abraham. I like Jim Leffler's thing about, would I build an ark? I'm still thinking about that one. God starts over through Noah. Did I say through Noah? And he starts, and that story continues on through the Tower of Babel and into Abraham. And we just heard kind of that whole story. I don't have to go through it. We heard the whole thing. And we kind of come up to Moses in Egypt and slavery, hundreds of years, terrible situation. And the idea God tees up through Moses is the promised land. And then through Joshua taking the promised land. So we've kind of heard the whole Torah and the book of Joshua. We're now in the book of Joshua. And we kind of come to the book of Judges. And if you've read the book of Judges, it starts off pretty well. And it goes up and down. And then it goes down to like the worst stories you'll read in the Bible, really, in the book of Judges. And you're left thinking, what happened to the promised land? Where is the promised land? And that's what I wanted to talk about today. You know, there is a popular song out today by Toby Mac and Sheryl Crow. And it's called Promised Land. And the verse starts, head down as I punch this clock. The hours roll. They never stop. And I can't ever seem to get ahead. Always trying to do what's right, straight and narrow. It's getting tight. Don't know how much longer I can stand. And I'm wondering, where's my promised land? I'm just saying it's relevant topic today. If you know Toby Mac's story, he's been through some things, and this song gets a lot deeper, you know, as the song goes along. You know, it's preparing a couple weeks ago for this and thinking about where have I heard promised land and you know, who could really speak to that. And Dr. Martin Luther King, of course, came to mind, you know, if you've read or seen a video in particular, you know, I can't do these words justice at all. But I just wanted to read what he had to say about it. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he has allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I get I don't know why. I mean, Friday I was just kind of preparing, and I get emotional reading someone who I feel like captured it, at least in his heart, and tried to live it out in a real way. And so, but he says, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And again, me reading it doesn't do any justice. The word that he shared is powerful in and of itself. Let's read. You should be in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to keep talking about this. I will add, he shared that on April 3rd, 1968. You know, it's an important date if you know the date. So it's a really moving bit of what he shared. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "Observe therefore all the commands I give you today, that you may have the strength to go and take over the promised land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land that you are entering is to take over, not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing," this is really beautiful, "the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drink rain from heaven. It's a land that your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord, your God, are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end." God paints, God's painting through his word, through the Bible, through his word. God's painting this beautiful picture, and it's almost like a garden, right? We started off in the garden story. It's almost like a garden, and God is painting the same picture. But again, what happened? This really didn't come to fulfillment. It was, you read the Old Testament, it's just a struggle reading through the stories, and you have little bits, little starts, but never really a fulfillment. I think God wants us to grasp this concept of the promised land. You know, the song that that I shared, it has, it's a perfect, it resonates with me, but it has this idea of my promised land. And I'm not, I hope people, you know, the individual view of the promised land is worthy. We need to own it. We need to kind of own our individual view. Martin Luther King had an individual view, but the concept and what I kind of want to talk today is it's really a group view, right? It's really, and if you think about where this is going, it's a North view group. It's a people of God view. We as the people of God trying to figure out what God wants us to do. It's that sort of view. I've learned a lot of scripture, really the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Jim Leffler shared this. He's learning about Philippians. You know, I've had to learn. I feel good about, like, I'm always learning things, but I'm also unlearning things. And I think that's an important concept to realize too. One of the things I'm trying to unlearn is this individual view of all the scripture. It really changes your mindset when you think about, oh, this scripture is really meant for a larger group. It says in verse 8, "Be careful to obey so that you have the strength to go in and take over the land." Well, yeah, we need to own that as an individual, but we also need to own it with each other. We need to help each other obey God. And why does it say? So that we can be strong. So that we can be strong. And it's part of going in to take possession of that promised land is a matter of strength. Not my strength, not me lifting weights, being strong, you know, whatever. Our strength together, it only makes sense. It's almost only worth it if it's us together, right? So, Northview, what comes to mind when you think about the promised land? We're gonna talk about that. I ask you this, partly why I ask you this question is the way the Bible's written. I mean, the way Deuteronomy was written, it was in a scroll, right? And that scroll, even before it was a scroll, it was word of mouth, generational word of mouth. That's all people could talk about it. They didn't have this, they didn't have this, you know, they didn't have a computer and doing search words and all the things we can do today. It just was shared with each other. So I imagine someone sitting in the temple listening to Deuteronomy, listening to the promised land, and hearing, hey, this promised land, like walking home from the temple, hey, neighbor, what did you think about what he said? Do you think, you know, was that figurative language, milk and honey? Is there real milk and honey there? And then asking each other, I mean, the conversation would start based on what you hear and asking each other, hey, why do you think we haven't seen this promised land? I'm not experiencing the promise. Are you, you know, and the conversation takes place. And that's what I envision here as we talk about the promised land more, that it's a conversation. Hey, I haven't really experienced as a Christian the promised land, but to talk about it, because that's the way the Bible is written. It's teeing up the subject, not so we can have an individual quiet time in the morning. And that's, I do that and I like that, but it's teeing it up as a group so we can kind of get it on as a group. You know, some of us, I think the promised land is behind us, right? It's a thing of the past. It's Uncle Rico. Remember Uncle Rico from, he's quite the character, but he's always talking about the glory days, has his football, you know, he's just dreaming about the glory days. And I do think, and I hear stories. I mean, we tell stories about amazing things in our past, spiritually, in our church, in our movement, you know, that are amazing stories. And I'm not here to tell you, this is not a sermon to like a rah-rah sermon or inspirational, you know, message or whatever. I do want to get you to think kind of in this area that, you know, I guess part of what I'm saying, I'm not here to promise anything in the future. I don't know, as you know, my story, our story, the last 2 years with COVID and various things in society, we don't know the future. We don't know the future of, you know, we're not guaranteed, even in this church, our future. But I do know that the promised land and the thought of it is a future-focused, faith-focused idea. And that no matter what age, young or old, I'm not going to point into any young or old, you know, that it's still relevant as a thought to you. If you think about, you know, in terms of young people, read Samuel, read the life of Samuel, and really the mom is where it all started, Hannah, and amazing story about a young person serving God and growing up with a reputation of serving God. Great story. He had God. God really wanted to use Samuel, a young person. I think if you think about Jesus starting the ministry, he didn't start till 30 years old. The priesthood often started at 30 years old. Moses didn't start till 40 years old. Caleb became a spy. That's really cool. At 40 years old, you know. Caleb also shows up again in the story at 80 years old as a warrior. At 80 years old. Abraham and Sarah, 90, 100 years old, starting a family. They're all part of God's story, and they all certainly found God along the way. And I would encourage whatever age group you're in to consider that. There's an age group, 30 to 50 year olds, in Numbers chapter 4. It's this really cool story. It's 30 to 50 year old males, and despite the rumors, I'm not that far away from that 30 to 50 year old. Mr. Young asked me, we were talking before the service, and one of his first questions is, are you retired? And I'm like, what? That's a long way away. I'm away, you know. But I do remember the 30 to 50 year old period. It was a hard period for me. It was career, church, Awana, finances, teenagers. And last thing I needed was something else. And I don't want this. This is not a something else sermon. This is a vision, an idea of how does God want to use me as we march to the promised land? What is my role as we march to the promised land? And just a couple of stories, and we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Luke tees up this same idea with two little stories at the beginning of the life of Jesus. One was Simeon. He was an old man, it says. He's near the end of his life. And he's waited his whole life for Jesus, the Messiah. He's waited his whole life for the Messiah. And it says they take him into the temple. They put him in his arms. And he gets to rock Jesus and bless him. That's his fulfillment. And that's the kind of vision. When I read those stories, I'm like, these stories are for us. Yeah, it's a cool story. But Simeon is part of that story. Anna, right after that, is the same story. Part of the story. 84 years old, a widow most of her life, living in the temple, fasting and praying. Anna, that's another story. So I'm just, it just applies. This idea of the promised land and fulfillment of how God's going to use us and what we hope for applies to all of us for sure in here. So Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I hope I don't get in trouble with this, but Hebrews, you know, it has the subtitle Hall of Fame of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And I just want to say, I don't like that. I hope that's okay. I think a lot of those, I don't like being pigeonholed in my thought about something like that. I call it the Hall of Fame of Faith of broken people who found God along their journey. That's my subtitle. And I really believe it's true. And it makes it a lot more relatable because it is accurate. If you read the lives, of those people, it's accurate. But the idea of the promised land continues right into Hebrews. And it's some very important meaningful and moving concepts I hope we can see today. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, all these people, so, you know, Abraham, Noah, Rahab, everybody, all these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There's a lot of promised land talk here. And really, the promised land, in every sense of the word, is heaven, right? It is heaven. It's where we hope to experience the healing, a lot of us. It's a fulfillment of the idea of the promised land. But it tees up the topic of promises here. Again, the idea of promises, this whole service. How do you feel when you read this? I'm just going to say, it's hard for me to read, okay? It's hard for me to read about they did not receive the things promised. I mean, that's the whole purpose of promises, is we'll see the fulfillment. And I do think there is the idea of looking forward in faith, not looking to our past, our glory days. This is talking about that. It says, if they had been, in verse 15, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. I just think promises and the way we look at the promised land is something we need to wrestle with, not just accept. Okay, well, God promised it. I'm just going to accept it. It is just something we have to wrestle. I've had to wrestle with God's promises because I sometimes feel I just don't see them coming true, and I don't like it. And it's the whole idea of the Jacob wrestling with God at the near the end of his journey, it's captured in all that, right? I, as a church, as a group, I hope we can help each other in this area. I want Hebrews 11, it ends with a very important part in verse 39. It says, these people were all commended for their faith. And again, it says, yet none of them had received what was promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You know, the core tendency of humankind in the Bible, the storyline is that there's something better outside of God. That humans, as humans, we know better. Adam and Eve, think about the whole Adam and Eve story, and story after story kind of is on a similar vein, is that we think we know better, that there's something better outside of God. And these people in Hebrews 11, these real people, broken people, faithful people, finding God, they would say otherwise. They would witness, you know, Hebrews 12 goes on, and they would witness otherwise. So in terms of something better, I want to talk about that a little bit because I think sometimes we get lost and we don't feel like I'm in the story. The whole verse 40, that last sentence, the whole reason for it is to realize it's not just saying, well, Jesus is here, so Jesus is the, you know, fulfillment. It's saying, yes, Jesus is here. And as Christians, I mean, if you read verse 40, it says, since God had planned something better for us, only together with us would they be made perfect. In other words, they started this story, and they started toward the promised land, and they didn't realize it, and they did their best. There's amazing stories of faith in there. And that story is continuing to even today, that we, Northview, this group, I want to hug him. We are part of that story. Our lives are part of that story. And that's what it's saying. Only together with us would they be made perfect. You know, I got baptized, just a couple stories. I got baptized 18. I said that last time. And I studied twice. And I love, you know, it was just like, oh, this is great. Got baptized on a Friday. And the first Sunday, 2 days later, I didn't go to church. It's a long story. I didn't go to church. The second Sunday, you know, I didn't go to church then either. And, you know, there were some things I had to work out. But the third Sunday, I did go to church. And I meet the minister who is speaking on the parable of the sower. And it was just like, wow, this is awesome, you know. And it was Joe Hartline. Some of you know Joe. If you don't know Joe, I'd highly recommend getting to know Joe and his wife, Mary. And Joe, it ends up, just long story short, he lives 4 miles from me now. This was 37 and a half years ago, my first experience with church. I hear the word from Joe. Now Joe's back in my life. I'm sharing my, if you know Joe's story, it's a tough story, you know, but it's a God story. And it's a faith story. Joe's a looking forward to the promised land story. And we are sharing. We're kind of literally, figuratively, spiritually, we walk together and share our stories and dream of the promise. It's a real thing with me today. Another brother, Kevin Humphrey, you know, 4.5 years ago, he took me aside at church and he said, brother, I need to share something. You know, Kevin, you know, it's the throwing the arm over the shoulder and, you know, everybody, you know, everybody looks up. And he goes, bro, I just want you to know that I wake up every day and I have a pit in my stomach for what you and your family had been through. And I pray for you every day. And this was a year after the tragedy. And he still feels that way. And I'm like, hey, he's going to make it. He's going to help me make it to the promised land. He's part of my story. And even a week ago, I have a relationship with him, and he brought up something that I had missed, that, you know, I didn't have on straight, that I lacked, I was not in touch with. I mean, I'm just sharing about a brother who is in touch, and he brought it to my attention as a friend with respect. And that's our ongoing story. We are part of the story together, helping each other realize, I mean, in a real way, helping each other realize the promised land in this way. And I think in closing, I would encourage you to talk about the promised land. You might not have an idea right now what it is or what your role is, and that's okay. That's the whole purpose of talking about it. Talk about it from your reading through the scriptures. Talk about it from your walk with God, your struggles, your triumphs. Again, the Hall of Fame of Faith of Broken People Who Found God along the way. But as Northview, I feel like we are, as a group, we are part of God's storyline. God wants us to be part of the story. And yeah, heaven is the ultimate promised land. With Jesus, there's an aspect, though, of the promised land that can start right now. I believe that with all my heart, that we as a church with each other can bring back Eden in each other's lives, at least for a moment, at least for a bit, as best we can. And I pray until we get to heaven and we realize what the fulfillment is, that's what we can do. Let's pray. Dear Father, you are amazing. I do pray for your word to resonate within us, for us to be people of faith, looking forward to the promised land, talking about it. We love you with all our hearts. Help us to go forward in faith. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great fellowship.